Welcome in to Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf and Gavin Shaw here, and it's draft lottery day. This used to be like a big holiday for Knicks fans, but not so much now. We're still mending our broken hearts over the lost playoff series against the Heat. And yet, if the Knicks get some lotto luck in the forms of the Mavs dropping today, they could potentially have a lottery pick in this draft. We'll detail how that could happen, what types of players we want the Knicks to target should they get a draft pick, if it could actually be more beneficial for the Knicks not to get the pick this year, and more right now on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Anthony for three. Bang! That one goes to back. Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Randall knocks down the three.
Becomes infectious. Becomes infectious.
Welcome in to Locked On Knicks, and we want to remind you guys that today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. And we want to thank you guys for making Locked On Knicks first listen today and every day, whether you're checking us out on your favorite podcast platform or taking in the sights and sounds on YouTube. We appreciate you making us a part of your daily routine. And if you haven't already, make sure to hit the subscription, the auto download function on your favorite podcast app, or the subscription bell, notification bell on YouTube. Sorry, I forgot what it was called for a second. But make sure you hit that so you never miss an episode and you can become an everydayer. I'm Alex Wolf. I'm editor-in-chief of Knicks site, The Stricklands. You can find it at strick.land. He's Gavin Shaw, your favorite play-by-play broadcaster's favorite play-by-play broadcaster. And as we said, today is draft lottery day, Gavin. And thanks to some shameless tanking by the Mavericks down the stretch of the season, the Knicks don't have the odds are not in their favor to have a draft pick in this coming draft, having, of course, traded their own draft pick for Josh Hart and having the Mavs pick at that time looking like, oh, this should be a nice, like, you know, like the Mavs look like they're going to be a low playoff seed. You know, it's probably like the 16th pick or something. Then the Mavs free fall at the end of the year with Kyrie Irving in tow. And now the Knicks sit in a place where it's definitely much more likely that they will not have a first round pick by the end of the draft lottery.
Yeah, it's a real shame, Alex. My roommate had Shark Tank on an hour ago, and instead of enjoying it, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. So that was a real bummer. And it doesn't age well. Let me just say this, and then we can get the Schadenfreude out of the way, and we can get into like the actual logistics of it. Doesn't look good for the Dallas Mavericks, given what the Miami Heat have done. A team in a very similar position near the end of the regular season. Sure, they were a little bit more locked into playoff positioning than Dallas was, but their path was ultimately the same. They had to play two games in the play-in, and now they're in the conference finals. Do I think Dallas would have done what Miami's done? No, they were somewhat of a broken team by the end of the regular season. That being said, what we saw Jimmy Butler do in the first round, which was like almost single-handedly will his team to win over top seed. Like Luka Doncic, at least from a scoring perspective, was capable of something like that. Do I understand from like a purely logical perspective what Dallas did? Honestly, no, because I think it's going to cost them Luka at some point down the road, their general attitude towards trying to put a winning team around him. And I don't think they're going to get Kyrie Irving back, and maybe they'll sign and trade him for someone. But I think that franchise is in a lot of trouble, mainly because they let one of the best players in the NBA walk for nothing. And Jalen Brunson. All right, I'm done. OK, so the actual odds. So Dallas finished with the 10th worst record in the regular season. That gives them a 65.9% chance to get the 10th pick in the draft. They have a 19% chance at the 11th pick and a 1.2% chance at the 12th pick. Of course, if it's the 11th or 12th pick, that means it's the New York Knicks pick. So to sum things up, the only thing that really matters there, Alex, is that the New York Knicks have a 20.2% chance at retaining their pick. And the one good thing about all of Dallas's chicanery is that if the Knicks get it, it will be as high as it can possibly be under the restrictions of the Kristaps Porzingis trade.
Yeah, and it's overwhelmingly likely that if it does go to the Knicks that it'll be at the 11th pick. Like, 1.2% chance is not super likely. Two teams are going to jump from 14 to 11 over the Mavericks there. So yeah, in some ways, it's actually pretty nice for the Knicks that they, and of course, we won't even talk about if people are listening and they're like, where are those missing percentages? We won't talk about those because that would imply that the Mavericks move into the top four, which is the ultimate nightmare scenario. That would just be horrible. And that would just, I mean, you talk about stuff that, you know, Luka Doncic like might be looking for his exit plan already. Well, all you need to happen there is you get Wembanyama, like the most generational prospect in the last like 15, 20, whatever years. And let's just see how that goes. We'll just throw him to Luka Doncic. And
I might quit the podcast in that scenario. So and anyone rooting for that can cheer for that tomorrow night.
Yeah. Oh, that's not great. But
yeah, we've seen the comment. It's probably mostly Miami Heat fans in our
yeah, country. Probably. Yeah. And people still convinced you're a Nets fan for whatever reason. Years later.
There's a couple out there, I'm sure.
I'm sure there still are. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. What's your vibe check right now? How are you, before we get into like some more deep conversations about what could happen if this actually does work out the Knicks way, the Knicks have never had luck with their own pick and their own lottery odds. Is it possible maybe they'll get a little luck from someone else? I can't really make up my mind, to be honest.
I think Dallas, I think I read today, I'm sorry if this is wrong, but they moved down 5 times in their history. So Dallas has had similarly poor luck to the Knicks historically, obviously. The year they got Luka aside, though, to be fair, that was mostly due to their own maneuvering and the stupidity of the teams in front of them. To answer your question, Alex, I feel pretty good. I think things we can agree. Things have kind of been going the Knicks' way of like the Josh Hart trade worked out better than any of us could have expected. The Jalen Brunson signing went way, way better than any of us could have expected. And the basketball gods, I don't think they want to reward what Dallas did. Maybe they'll grudgingly say, all right, you get your 10th pick. Let's see how you feel when Luka leaves in 2-3 seasons. I don't think they're going to move into the top four. I think there's a half decent chance that the Knicks get it. Maybe that just means 20%. But karmically, I think things are in a good spot for the Knicks. But what are you? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, it does sort of feel like the Simpsons meme. Like, everything's coming up Milhouse, right? Like, it's sort of like that. I can't do a good Milhouse. But yeah, maybe things are coming up Knicks here. I don't know. I'm kind of taking the same approach that I did after the Knicks went down 3-1 to the Heat, where I'm just expecting failure and allowing myself to be surprised if things work out. So I'm going to go into it. Whereas every other year I've always said I'm going to take that approach going into the draft lottery, but when it's the Knicks' own pick and when everything is like hinging on that, like, you know, like, oh, if the Knicks move from 8-1, this would literally change the entire franchise. Like, I'm trying to, you know, leave that behind this year and not talk about, like, get like the lottery ticket syndrome, you know, like when you buy a couple lottery tickets and you know you have a better chance of going outside and getting struck by lightning 4 times and then, you know, getting run over by a bus on your way home. But like, you're still like, no, you know what? I think it could happen. I could win the lottery. I can't wait to spend that $1 billion, you know? Normally I get that way. I'm trying to go at it more zen this year. So I'm going to say I am perfectly fine with whatever happens. However, I also agree with you. I think that if there are basketball gods, they should smile upon the Knicks and frown upon the Mavericks and smite them with their holy lightning of basketball. So that's where I'm going. I hope that's the case, because nothing would make me happier than Mark Cuban getting one step closer to losing arguably the best, arguably Dirk was pretty damn good, like arguably the best player that his team has ever lucked into getting, all by his own fault, which would just be amazing. Even though, you know, he probably should have lost Dirk too, if we're being completely honest. But anyway, all right, moving on. We will talk in just a second about the type of player that we would target. And also, although we just spent a while saying how nice it would be if the Knicks did get the draft pick, if it could actually be more beneficial for the Knicks not to get this draft pick because of the implications towards potentially making a star trade or something down the line. But first, I got to let everybody know that today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is my favorite daily fantasy game. And that's partly because right now they have a $1 million daily super flex promotion for the NBA playoffs and finals. Every day of the NBA playoffs and finals, one prize pick user will win a chance of becoming a millionaire and at better odds than winning the lottery. One entry placed after 8 a.m. Eastern will be randomly selected each day. Whoever placed that entry will be given a six-pick flex with the following payouts. Six correct picks wins you $1 million. Five correct picks wins you $80,000. Four correct picks wins you $16,000. And full details can be found at prizepicks.com/million. You must opt in at that link to be eligible for the $1 million entry. And once you opt in, all you have to do is play the game like normal and you could be the lucky winner. And what do I mean when I say playing like normal? Well, PrizePicks is different than your average daily fantasy game. You're not playing against a bunch of nerds in their basement with their spreadsheets and their million entries that they place into every competition to make it so you basically have no chance from the second you flush your $20 down the toilet, like with some of those other daily fantasy games. This one is literally just PrizePicks sets over-unders, and you pick over-unders on various players. You can even make multi-sport entries. It's really cool. So like if you're a Mets fan and you want to, you know, and you want to do like Mets, Yankees, and NBA playoffs, you could do that all in one entry and bet overs and unders on various things that are selected in there. It's really that easy. It's just you versus the computer, and you can win up to 25 times your money. So download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. And if you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50, and so on and so forth. So don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, and we're back in. Continuing draft lottery talk, Gavin, like we let off with the show, you know, this is a different sort of draft lottery show. We're not like sitting here sipping on hope and inhaling cope, you know, like about the previous season. The Knicks just ended a really good season where they exceeded expectations. It's still a bummer, but we just have a potential for a nice little cherry on top of this season if the Mavericks get screwed over. Gavin, I'm curious. Before we get into more specific guys in the next segment, which we're both admittedly not super confident in discussing this draft class yet, because for once we haven't had to spend the last 2 months doing it already. But what type of player would be your ideal to get in this draft?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty clear what the Knicks needed. Another ball handler, which they'll have in Emmanuel Quickley. So then that flips to like a high-level shooting wing. And to some extent, I think if you're the Knicks, you're betting on Quentin Grimes being that guy. And Grimes has a better odds of accomplishing that than anyone that the Knicks will take in the draft. But you're also looking at the Knicks as one of the deepest teams in the NBA. And you could make the case that some of that depth was exposed, but I think it was exposed in a way that is very normal, which is young guys struggling in their first postseason. And even in the case of Josh Hart, a slightly older guy who was struggling in his first postseason. I don't know if that necessarily means you need to replace them, but you can always use more shooting. And then the alternate perspective there is you are just going for as high of an upside swing as possible, saying like, what do you give to the man who has everything, something better than all the everything that he already has? And it's unlikely the Knicks would find that at pick 11, but there are guys that have legitimately high ceilings that are going to fall that far because Alex, this draft is just that good.
Yeah. And I think if I was going to look for something in particular, it would be someone that can shoot the ball and someone that can hopefully create their own shot. And I know that that's maybe a tall order at pick 11 normally. Like, that's, if you get a guy like that, they're normally going to have tons and tons of flaws. But given the depth of this draft, like you said, I think that would be my goal. I'd be like, and I think there are some guys sort of like that. And like, we'll talk about them in a minute. But like, you know, like Bryce Sensabaugh or Jordan Hawkins or something like that. Like, I think the Knicks have a good enough defensive identity at this point that you can slot some of these guys in and be like, here's what your job is on defense. Just like learn it on the fly, but like, don't screw up too hard. But, you know, we could pick you up a little bit here and there. Like, we have Mitchell Robinson, you know, waiting on the inside if things aren't perfect on the wing. You know, like, we have Emmanuel Quickley and we have Quentin Grimes and we have, you know, all these various guys that can cover for you, you know, and cover the best guys on the team. We just need you to go out there and like score some buckets. And if we saw one thing in this postseason, it was that like in certain moments, especially if Julius Randle isn't shooting super well, like the Knicks really lack another person that can just generate a shot and generate a bucket. in many cases. And, you know, we saw everybody but Jalen Brunson struggle with that aspect, and also just nail threes, which, like, for as much as like Quentin Grimes spaced the floor, he struggled with making threes. And Emmanuel Quickley, before he got hurt, was struggling with making threes, even though he was spacing the floor. So, like, just a scorer of that sort, and hopefully a wing scorer, because I just think that would be the ideal spot for the Knicks right now, would be the top of my list. However, I'll probably contradict that in the next segment when we get into the actual guys, because my favorite guy is actually a big or sort of maybe a big wing at best. It would be how described, but we'll get to that in just a sec. Gavin, my question to you before we move to that, though, before we move on to, you know, the hope of, you know, all these various guys, I wonder, is there a world where it could be better for the Knicks not to get this pick because of the tradability?
Yeah, I maybe am taking like a slightly different angle on it, but I think the argument against the Knicks making this pick is the same argument that people made last year. And I think probably was ultimately, like, I mean, obviously it was to create the cap room for Jalen Brunson to get off some guys and to get multiple picks down the road. But I think the crux of the Knicks not making the pick wasn't that they didn't really like anyone at that spot. Maybe they were super in on Jalen Williams or Jalen Duren, but it was that none of those guys were going to break into the Knicks rotation this year, because they were already overwhelmingly deep. And even coming into this season, we were like, all right, how are all these dudes going to play? And we were like saying crazy stuff like, all right, are they just going to like not play Quinn Grimes? Are they just not going to play Evan Fournier? Like, how is Derrick Rose going to fit into the rotation? It turns out, like, if you're the Knicks, like, Derrick Rose, someone who could probably still contribute to an NBA team. Evan Fournier, honestly, like, in the right situation, could probably still be a 20-point scorer on an NBA team. They were out of the rotation. Quinn Grimes at points this year wasn't playing quite as many minutes as you would have expected him to. Emmanuel Quickley, who put up all-star caliber stats, like, was only playing like 28 minutes a game, like, when everyone was healthy. Is probably only going to be playing that next year. Like, as of now, unless the Knicks don't bring back Josh Hart, who changed the trajectory of their entire season, like, every single rotation spot is full. So what is the point of drafting one of these guys who might be awesome, but inevitably is going to be a depreciating asset, because you, as the New York Knicks, are not playing him. And even if said guy is dropping 35 points a game for the Westchester Knicks, like, his value is not going to be as high as it was when he was drafted. Or it could force you into an uncomfortable position as a Knicks, where you have to make that choice. Like, all right, like, this dude is super good versus like Quentin Grimes or versus Emmanuel Quickley or versus Obi Toppin. And maybe that's a good choice to be forced into, but I think it could artificially push up the Knicks timeline, where they want to make a consolidation trade before the right guy's available, or before they're ready, or before they have enough information on whether or not someone like Emmanuel Quickley is an all-star caliber player. And by waiting a year or two down the line, Alex, to your point, you have that pick to throw into a star trade. And also you have more information about your current guys and which guys you should keep and which guys you should send out in said trade to create room for a potential prospect.
Yeah. And I always say this too. And so, like, I could see a world where it's a better thing for the Knicks to just not get this pick too. As much fun as we have breaking down the draft every year and learning about all these different players, which honestly, we probably still will do some of, even if the Knicks don't have a pick, because it's just fun and it's an NBA thing to do. And otherwise, what else are we going to talk about all summer? But, you know, I think that there is a real benefit potentially to the Knicks not getting this lottery luck coming their way. And that would be that draft picks are worth more when they're theoretical assets than when they actually become a player in most cases, unless you super hit on the pick. But like Obi Toppin, for example, great NBA player so far. Well, okay, some people wouldn't say great. At the very least, has proven to be a good functional NBA rotation player. Let's put it that way. Which is valuable, and he'll get paid, and he'll probably play in the NBA for quite some time. He'll probably have at least two more deals, you know, after his rookie deal, and probably more than that, even depending on the length of those deals and all that stuff. But Obi Toppin right now, or even a year ago, or even his rookie year, was worth a lot less than the number 8 pick in the NBA draft or a lottery pick. You know what I mean? Like, these picks are worth more as like a beacon of hope for a franchise that is trading away a star player. You know, they want to have that sell to their fans of like, yes, we traded Donovan Mitchell, but we got back 5 first round picks, and those 5 first round picks could be anything. They could be 5 Donovan Mitchells, you know, like, that's just how the trading game works in the NBA. And that's why I think they're, especially if the Knicks maybe find themselves in the star market as early as this offseason, which we'll talk about in some shows coming up, like, you know, briefly touch on, and then I'm sure we'll talk about it plenty this offseason about guys they could potentially look at. But, you know, if they find themselves in the star market sooner than later, having that pick down the line could be a little more valuable than if you get like a, you know, Jordan Hawkins or something at pick 11, who looks like he's going to be a great rotation player in the NBA and maybe has some star upside to him or something, but would be a harder sell than just like, here, you can make your own pick later on, you know, and pick your own Jordan Hawkins if you don't feel good about Jordan Hawkins himself. You know what I mean? And I just use him as an example because he was the first guy I looked at on the list. But, you know, there's all these various factors that play into a draft pick as a theoretical asset potentially being more valuable than an actual player. But I think we should get to some of the actual players. We have some thoughts on some guys that the Knicks should potentially look at. So in the spirit of the draft lottery and of the fact that this could be the last time that we seriously talk about the Knicks potentially being in the running for these guys, we figure we'll get our takes off on that real quick. So we'll take one last little pause here and then come right back in and talk about some of our favorite players that could potentially be there at 11 or 12 for the Knicks if they manage to get that pick. All right, and we're back in to finish up our draft lottery day discussion. And, you know, it's a weird day as a Knicks fan because we're just sort of like rooting for another team's misfortune that could be fortune for the Knicks and not actively rooting for the Knicks to move up in the draft or anything. Gavin, if you were going to lay out a few names that you think you would want the Knicks to look at, where would you start as far as if they get that 11th or 12th pick?
Right. So I just kind of went through the guys that ESPN had like 8 through 18. I figured that would be the approximate range that the Knicks would be targeting guys. So point guards, Cason Wallace out of Kentucky, Nick Smith, who at one point was considered the number one American college prospect out of this draft, coming out of Arkansas, Nick Smith Jr., excuse me, Anthony Black, also from Arkansas, two guard, other two guards, Grady Dick, Jordan Hawkins, Keontae George, Jet Howard, small forward, a Prez favorite, Bryce Sensabaugh, and then power forward, Taylor Hendricks. My initial list of standouts out of those guys are mostly just the guys that can shoot and can shoot really well. So that's Grady Dick, that's Jordan Hawkins, that's Jet Howard. To a slightly lesser extent, that's Taylor Hendricks, but he's pretty interesting to me, Alex, only in that, like, out of like the positions the Knicks would theoretically target, I still think Obi Toppin, or maybe, which we'll talk about in a future episode, Julius Randle is kind of the most likely guy to ultimately be dealt. And I think Hendricks is very much in the mold of someone you would want at that position for the New York Knicks. A big wing that shoots the ball very well, 39% from three on 4.6 attempts per game, with some juice, is explosive, can defend multiple positions. Not at all a perfect comp, and one that people can come on and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about at all. But like a little bit similar to what we were like aspiring to in someone like Tari Eason last year, but maybe even with a better shot in Taylor Hendricks. Hendricks is a little bit more wingy than Eason is. I think that would be a really clean fit for the Knicks because it offers you some of what Obi Toppin brings, but with more defense. And to me, like if I'm building like an archetype of a role playing four that I'd like for the Knicks in their starting lineup, that's essentially what I want.
Yeah, he's my favorite player so far in this draft class. I would freaking love if he came to the Knicks. And it should come as no surprise for anyone that's been with us for a long time on Locked On Knicks and knows my greatest draft crush of all time, which was Brandon Clark, that I like a 6'9 forward that can protect the rim a little bit, but definitely can play the four. And also he's also young, which Clark was not. And he also, his three-point shooting is not theoretical. It's actual. So this dude can actually shoot the ball. It's not like you're banking on him making some outlier development to get to that point. I think Hendricks would be awesome. I think he's like, he looks to be, to me, like what you'd want a prototypical four to be in the NBA today, where it's like he can shoot, he can defend, you know, multiple positions, he can protect the rim some. He's explosive. Like, I think one of the main things holding him back at this point and why he wouldn't be drafted higher necessarily, and maybe like a good combine or something can remedy that for him, is that he played for UCF, like, which isn't a super big program. So, you know, you question competition level and stuff like that, but I think he looks really good. I mentioned him in the last segment. He's probably my second favorite guy that would realistically be there for the Knicks. But Jordan Hawkins is probably one of my favorites. I'm sure a lot of people would say that in this area. I know you know, because there's no like powerhouse program in the New York area in terms of college sports, college basketball.
You're not a Rick Pitino believer at St. John's.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see how that goes. But like, a lot of UConn fans in the general New York area. So I'm sure a lot of people also love Hawkins, and he was a 41% shooter from three. He's a second year player, which the Knicks would love. They don't like, other than Trevor Keels, I don't know that they've ever taken a freshman in the draft. So that's clearly not their type. They like guys that have had a little bit of seasoning in the NCAA first. He has tournament pedigree, which I'm sure the Knicks would love as well. And he's long and athletic and can shoot the ball, which I think this team needs, and also has some pop attacking closeouts, getting to the rim, that sort of thing. I think much like Quentin Grimes, he could be sort of like a slightly longer Quentin Grimes, which I think would be pretty beneficial to this team. Because I don't know his wingspan numbers, but I know just by looking at him, his wingspan looks like a plus wingspan. So he would be a pretty good fit to me.
Yeah, you can't have too much shooting. I think that's kind of been our big takeaway. I think Grady Dick is someone who also falls into that category, a guy who had some struggles in his second round NCAA tournament game against Arkansas defensively, but by and large was really good on that end, like gets up a lot of threes and has like some legitimate athletic pop. Like I got to broadcast one of his high school games his senior year at Sunrise Christian, and I like going into it, I remember like all I heard about him was like best shooter in the country, or in the mix of the best shooter in the country. And he had a terrible day shooting the ball, but the guy was flying up the court, like causing deflections, like rim running, like dunking on people. And I was like, oh, this dude like has some juice to him. And I've been like a big fan ever since. I thought he fit in really well at Kansas. I actually saw like Prez tweeting it out the other day, like they were dramatically better all year long when he was on the floor than when he wasn't. And again, is like very much in that mold of who the Knicks should want. But I think a big thing, like depending on how Quentin Grimes develops and like if the Knicks like eventually move off Quentin Grimes, like the only issue I have with Quentin Grimes is that he's like not quite big enough and long enough. So similar to what you were saying with Hawkins, but like Dick is like built like a little bit bigger. And to be clear, like he doesn't project to be, I don't think he's going to be nearly the defender Quentin Grimes is overall, but I would love for the Knicks to get more size on the floor. Like a 6'7" wing that could shoot is just like maybe the one like kind of like type of player these Knicks are missing. Jet Howard is also pretty interesting to me in that respect. Like also great size, got up a ton of threes this year, took 7.2. That was like one of the better 3-point rates you saw from any freshman in the country. That also hit them at a high rate, 37% from three. And he is hyper, hyper skilled. I just from what I've gauged, like reading draft analysts throughout the year, like he's a guy, even though he's ranked a bit lower, might have some more upside than some of the other guys in this conversation, Alex, just because he is super duper skillful, like multi-dimensional scorer, like really interesting handle, bunch of counters. Like if you're the Knicks and you're looking for kind of an upside play, like he's the kind of guy, like if he ends up falling to like 15, 16, 17 and the Knicks don't get this pick, I could see them trading back into the draft to go and try and get him.
Yeah. I mean, of course that'll be the thing that we can potentially talk about the draft still going forward. The Knicks do have a sweet spot that they like, which is usually more in the 20s where they find all this great talent. And so they might try to trade in and get someone like that that does fall. If they do get 11, though, and this might be considered a little bit of a reach depending on what big board you're looking at, but something about Bryce Sensabaugh really intrigues me. He's like really – he doesn't look like he should be the type of player that he is. He looks like he should be like – I don't know, like P.J. Tucker or something. Like he's just – he's built like a linebacker, you know. He's like – not at all the guy you would expect to just be like the bucket getter on the team. And yet that's exactly what he is. Like, I mean, he had a really impressive slash line, like 48, 41, 83, 48% from two, 41% from three, 83% from the free throw line. And he self-created a lot and like has a pretty solid handle and like pretty solid creation ability and ability to get his shot up from pretty much anywhere and is built like a tank. But it's a little small. Like he's, I don't know, maybe like a mini Julius Randle, like size wise. Like when you look at him, he almost looks like stocky. He's just a bizarre player from a basketball perspective, but he really intrigues me. Like and Prez loves him too. He's very much a Prez type player. And And so I don't know. Something about him really, really intrigues me. Another guy too, if we're talking about shooting, and a potential guy that maybe would be worth trading back in for if he does have like a free fall, Derek Whitehead from Duke came into the year with really high pedigree. I think he was like top five in the class or something. He was quite high up there.
Yep.
And didn't have a great year because of injuries and or didn't have a great start to the year, I guess I should say, because of injuries and stuff. And then sort of just slotted in on Duke as a role player as they sort of got him acclimated. Only wound up playing 20 and a half minutes per game, but shot 43% from three and sort of just like slotted into like a pure shooter role as the year went on. And yet, if you look at his high school tape and stuff, is probably capable of more than that. And is like prototypical wing size, like 6'7", like pretty athletic. Obviously had the injuries and stuff. I believe they were lower body injuries coming into the season. So I don't know, I guess sort of a similar case ish to like AJ Griffin last year, where there was a lot of discussion about like, what's his durability going to be like and this, that, the other, but he shot the lights out at Duke his freshman year. So maybe still worth a look. Like, I think he could potentially be worth a look, and also might be a guy that, if he has like a really slamming combine, like could potentially shoot up there and be in that 11 or so range just based off his pedigree.
Yeah. And I think that is like, again, like if you're the Knicks and you're playing with house money, like that is the classic upside bet where you just take that guy and you say like, all right, if we like maybe 1 in 20 chance, he hits his ceiling and he's a multi-time all-star, but you know, you get that guy, you are in an even better, like the point is the Knicks, like they have the capital to play with that. They have the future picks.
You know what the vibes of that?
Yeah.
Sorry. You know what the vibes that reminds me of when you just said it that way? And I hadn't thought of this. It's like MPJ with the Nuggets.
That's like a great call. Yeah. I was trying to think of an example in my head, and that's a good one. And like, and you can look, I mean, Derek doesn't have like nearly those level of injury concerns that MPJ did, but I remember loving that pick in the moment because like, you're like, wow, if this dude works out next to Jokic, like it's just they're gonna be unfair, and when he's on, they're kind of unfair. And I think the Knicks are maybe not in quite that position just because they don't have an MVP candidate currently. But you know what, Alex? Maybe they'll trade for one, and we'll talk about that next episode. but until next time, this is our lottery primer. Everyone, send good vibes out there to the Knicks. Bad vibes to the Dallas Mavericks. Nothing but bad vibes to the Mavs.
Always.
And, yeah. And we are currently, this is on Monday night. We're going to record an episode for Wednesday about the Knicks maybe trading for a certain big in their division. But if the Knicks somehow do get the 11th pick, rest assured, we'll have an episode for you about that. But until then, he's Alex. I'm Gavin. Talk to you soon. I'm Locked On Knicks.